Welcome to episode 3 of the Cadence Beat. This is the podcast about creating effective websites with WordPress, Blocks, and of course, Cadence and Cadence Blocks. I'm here with Ben Rittner, the founder of Cadence, and Hannah Rittner, the guru of all customer questions. How are you guys doing today?
We're doing good. Can't believe we made it to episode 3. I thought we'd give up a long time ago.
Yeah, we're doing great. We're all doing great.
Are people listening?
People are listening. Oh my gosh, I have to share the stats with you guys. We have hundreds of people listening. Yes. Does that put the pressure on? Maybe I shouldn't have mentioned
that
here.
Yeah, that's a little nerve-wracking.
These are all of your fans, your adoring fans. It's all
good. I'm here for it.
Let's change the structure of the show just a little bit because we want to talk more about things that will help you create more effective website strategies. And so, Ben, you had this great idea of putting Hannah in the hot seat and questioning her about what she needs for her business website. What's your idea?
In episode 1, we disclosed that Hannah lives a double life and that she's a midwife as well as does support and different stuff for Cadence. So I said, why don't you pretend you're a midwife who needs a website? I don't actually know if your midwifery practice has a website.
We do. Today we don't.
Today you don't have a website. Let's go through and talk about how would we construct that homepage, with what questions would we ask, and how would we get to what content goes where for you and your midwifery practice. To get you in the frame of mind, I have a question for you. I have 4 kids. My last 2 were twins. Have I been at 3 births or 4 births?
You've been at 3 births.
But a baby came through a birth canal. 4 of them did. Well, actually, 1 was a C-section, so that's not true.
So the second twin that came in doesn't really, you didn't really have a birth?
That's interesting.
Yeah, that's what I'm...
Yeah, this is a valid question. And I'm not sure that everybody would agree with my answer. But I feel like it's still one birth, even though it's 2 babies. That's interesting. I've never thought about it.
I was thinking about it the other day. I said to someone, I've been at 3 births. And then I was like, but I've been at 4 births. But I actually don't know. Well,
yeah,
you kind of helped
it's
me.
It's still a mystery. I'm not sure. Yes, you've been at least 3. Maybe 3.5.
I'm definitely going to tell both my twin babies that they were born and they had a birth.
Yes.
All right. So this midwifery practice, here's your first question, Hannah. What's the purpose of this website for you?
Purpose
Like, what's the goal? What are people coming to it? What do you want them to do?
I want them to hire me as their midwife.
Okay.
So I'm looking for clients.
And for a client to sign on with you, what's the step before they hire you? Do you meet them? Do you talk to them on the phone?
Yeah, we offer a free consultation so they can come in and meet with us.
Okay. So if your website had a goal, it would be get somebody from here to a free consultation, because if they're not going to hire you without that consultation.
Yeah, most likely not.
Okay.
As someone who's had a midwife when I had my daughter, it's a very intimate experience. You really want to get to know the person, right?
Yeah, totally.
I wanted, as a mom who hired a midwife, I wanted to know that the person who's going to be there in my ugliest moments was going to guard my sacred space.
Yeah, midwifery care is all about continuity, so it'd be a big deal that they know who we are before hiring us.
Okay, more than likely, the goal of the website is get them to a consultation or a phone call if they're not ready to have a full sit down.
Yeah.
Like something, or maybe somebody's shy and I don't want to talk on the phone and I don't know if I want to meet you, but I want to ask you some questions. Maybe the goal is getting a consultation, signing up for that, and maybe your secondary one is send us an email or have questions. I primarily, when you come to my website, I want you to sign up for a consultation. And if you're not ready for that step, maybe the step before that is you want to ask me some questions.
Yeah.
Now, hopefully your website answers a lot of those questions. But for the people that are timid and are just like, you can tell me all you want to on your website, I still want to send you questions that you answer on your website 100 different times. And I still want you to reply to that email, because that's just how we as humans are. We want to ask the question even though the answer is in front of us, because we want to have that human interaction.
Absolutely. 100%. Which is great. I'm happy to answer questions that are stated clearly on the website.
I think it's important, though, that people get in that mindset of people want that human interaction when they ask you a question. It's not so much about you can go find this here, but I want to have an interaction with you.
Yeah.
So making that a secondary goal. And so that would be step number 1, is like, we're saying for your website, for this midwifery practice, you want customers to come to your website, get a consultation, sign up for a consultation, or contact you.
Yes.
And ask questions. Who is, this is question two, who is this website for? Can we define who the target audience is?
Yeah, it would be either expecting families or families who are hoping to be expecting soon and looking for a more holistic approach to childbirth.
Cool. And that's a good add-on at the end, because what's important there is that you're not saying all women who are expecting or all families. You're saying those who already have a mindset toward potentially a home birth. And the reason I want to define that is because what you have to do when you're thinking about the content for your page is say, okay, who's my target audience? And who am I intentionally excluding by saying this is my target audience? Because if you're trying to include and be like, well, we have to convince those who are like, home birth, are you crazy? Why would anyone do that into this? Like, you're then going to be talking like five different directions and making no sense to anybody. For Hannah, in your case with that, like maybe that's 95% of the people that come to your website. But maybe you have a website and you're saying, mine is maybe I could really cut down to 60% fit this persona. You still need to talk to that 60% at the exclusion of the 40 potentially.
Sure, yeah.
And then create other inroads for the other percent. So you want to make sure that your homepage is to that target customer. And then you want to create ways for people who aren't that target customer to become that target customer. So in your case, with somebody who doesn't want a home birth, they have no intention of getting a home birth. Maybe you want to create a pathway for that person to become somebody who wants a home birth via blog posts about false information about home birth or all that kind of stuff. Maybe you create other inroads to get them to become a person that goes, a month ago, I would have said, that's crazy. I never want to do this. And now after reading this blog post or after having this experience, I'm now coming around to being someone that's maybe I do. And then when they come to your website, you're talking to them at that phase and not at the other one. By being really clear and exclusive in how you talk, you can actually say words that are meaningful to your customers and get them to actually come. We're working on a redesign for Cadence. And that's one thing, just to wrap this point up, we're not assuming that people that come to the Cadence website don't know what WordPress is. WordPress is critical to Cadence. You can't use Cadence without WordPress, totally. Right? But when you come to our website, we're not explaining what WordPress is, because we're assuming you know what it is. And there is a lot of people out there who have no idea what WordPress is. And that's not our customer right now. And we hope to create channels for them to become our customer, but we're not going to not use the word WordPress, or anytime we try to use the word WordPress, to then come with this, and this is a content management system for your website. No, what we need to do is say, everyone who's coming to our website that we're intending to convert knows what WordPress is. If they don't, they'll miss out, but we'll create ways for it. And a lot of times you can do that simply in the nav by saying, what's this? Or something along those lines in your navigation for that person who comes to your website and they're like, I really want to do something with this company, but I don't understand. Create that pathway for them to become that target audience.
I love that's a great perspective.
Would you have that be a secondary, because we're talking about the homepage. The homepage target market is the person that is most likely going to spend money with your company. So then the secondary pathway for someone who maybe someday you could convince them to be a customer, that would be something that would be secondary on the homepage, or a secondary navigation element that they could then navigate into. What do you see there?
To me, I think your homepage needs to be written to that target audience.
Yeah.
And if you're saying like, hey, my audience is 50% this person and 50% this person, they're very different, then I would say create two homepages. Maybe they're not actually two homepages on your website, but create two funnels into your content that are written for those two audiences. I think that's very rare. The few times I see that is where you're like, well, I do business to business and I do business to consumer. And I've seen a larger company solve this by literally creating two completely different websites. Because they want to, you need to talk to who it is that are coming to your website. Right. So to me, it's scary to exclude people intentionally. It's a scary thing to say, I'm going to use language that's a little bit insider, or at least assumes you have some information, at the exclusion of people who don't. And I think it's worth it, because I think that you're going to be actually talking the language of the people coming that are ready to actually do the goal.
And not only that, the content of that particular page then gets picked up in the same language of the people who are searching for that content. They're searching for something very specific. If you're not using the same language, that they're searching on, your page isn't going to show up.
Yeah, that's great. We know the purpose of your website, Hannah. This is for your midwifery practice. We are trying to get people to schedule a consultation. And we know that your target audience is newly expecting families or potentially expecting families who, and this is a good caveat, important to note, who are interested, already know they're interested or might be interested in maybe not home birth, maybe birth center or holistic.
Just great. A more holistic approach.
Cool. Okay, so we've really defined that target audience. What questions does this audience, this person coming, need answered before they're ready to have that consultation? And this, I think, could be like a long list of things. But like, what questions are they coming in that they need answered before they're ready to say, okay, I want to have a free consultation?
Yeah, I think there's definitely a lot of answers to that. I think definitely people are looking for a water birth. So is that something that we offer? And that's something that we can present on our homepage. And people are looking for physiological birth, a hands-off approach. How can we market that? People are looking for, do we have birth center options? And there's such a wide range of questions there, but I think those are all big ones that people ask a lot. And how many people are in our practice? Are they hiring a group practice where it could be five different midwives at their birth, or is it just one or two? Are there students involved? Do we have collaborative care with chiropractors and doulas and other people? What does that look like?
Other ones I thought of that I want to know, are you qualified?
Yeah, these are my credentials. Yeah, that's a great one.
Do people like you? Do you have a good reputation?
Yeah.
Are you a nice person? Like, those are all things that I'm like coming to your website and I want answers. At least I want a feel for it. I want to know price or like something about price, probably. I'm probably interested to know, is this out of my league or, and I don't know, like, is insurance a thing or payment plans? I probably want to, I want to know information about, how's the transaction going to happen? I probably want to know location.
Yeah.
People are going to come to your site from the wrong city, and you probably pretty quickly want to be like, we don't serve the Texan when we're a practice in Boise. Other things I thought of, this comes from my wife and I just did a sleep training course with our, so we looked online for sleep training courses because we need our babies to sleep, please. And we took an online course together to try to figure out how to get our babies to sleep. When she was going through all these different online courses for sleep training, trying to find one of the things she started to look for that really became important to her was philosophy of care. And essentially was like, are you like a straight up, cry it out person who's teaching that? And I'm not going to diss that, whatever. That's not us. We're not a family that has done the cry it out thing. We're looking for something different than that. And so like philosophy of care became
absolutely
the thing that she was going to the websites to try to find before we picked a sleep training course.
That's huge. That's a huge one.
I think you mentioned it already, but do you work with, do you provide doulas? I think that's an important thing that people are coming looking for.
Yeah, having resources. These are our recommendations because there are so many doulas and chiropractors and lactation consultants out there, and we want to go to who's recommended. So I think that's a big deal.
And then the last one I thought of was current availability. I think that's important.
Yeah, that's a good one. Because
like you do, is there ever a time where you're like, we don't take any, we're full? Have you ever had to tell people to go find a different midwife?
I turn multiple people away every day. We fill up every month. COVID has been really good for the home birth community. Many people want out of hospital births now, so we are very busy.
So availability then is big. Yeah. So I've got a list here. I wrote down what you had. That's 15 things. It's a lot of different questions. Can we weed some out and say these three are probably the most important when they land on our website? Not that we're not going to work to answer all of them, but is there a way to prioritize that list?
Yeah, that's a great question.
I think it probably takes a decent amount of time and thought if we're actually going to be building this homepage to go through and be like, okay, let's really try to work through the priorities here. And it probably takes some having conversations with your clients to say, hey, what were the big issues for you? What were the first things you were looking for? And getting that customer feedback is good, but now you have a framework for what you should be asking the customer. And that's not a blanket statement where you can get a whole bunch of random things. It is just, what was most important to you when you came to our website? Was it philosophy of care, which encompasses a lot of things about collaboration? It encompasses things about hands-on approach. Or was, do you offer certain things like water births, you know, features, or was it pricing? I think now you have questions to ask and you can find and see what are the things that are most important, because ideally, you don't bombard somebody when they come to your website answers to 15 different questions. Ideally, they come to your website and they start to get answers, but trickled to them in pieces a little bit.
Yeah.
Let's jump on the last one. What are some creative ways to answer those questions? And I think this is an important step before you even think about wireframing and what goes where on your website, but just to think through, this is a time to be creative. What are some ways we can think of that would answer some of these questions, not necessarily with just the question and the answer, but can we answer these with images? Can we answer these with video? And if it's video, what video? And if it's images, what images? If it's animation, what animation? Thinking through that now in the term of developing your homepage is important versus later when it's like, we need a piece of content here.
Yeah, totally.
The content in some ways needs to lead the design and not the design, the content. So if we have a really great video, maybe we need to find a place for that up high. And maybe we need to find a way to autoplay some of that without sound where they can get a feel for things and then they can really go in further if they want to play the whole video. Or maybe you're horrible on video, so we should not have a video on our homepage.
Yeah.
Or you just don't have the resources to create a video or whatever. Piling some content right now before you get too far along and this is what my homepage is going to say and do and have is important. And I think being a little bit creative in this context is big.
Yeah, I think that's a huge deal. And I think you nailed it on the head with image and videos. If you're looking for a midwife, a huge thing people are looking for is to feel connection with their midwife. It's so much different than an OB provider. Like we really have like deep connections with our clients. And so people want to be able to see that's something that we offer. And I think pictures and videos absolutely show that. You have a picture of the midwife catching the baby and the mom is just has this look of awe. She's being handed the baby. And these pictures are, and especially if you're an expecting mother, it's so moving to see images like that. And then even a home birth video where they can watch all these things happen is a huge thing, a huge tool, I think. So, and then I think aesthetic's a big deal too. You don't want to come to a website and it's sterile. You want it to look pleasant. You want it to feel inviting. So I think that would be a big deal too.
Cool.
To basically establish an emotional experience when someone comes to your website. And that emotional experience, some people respond more to a visual thing. Some people might need to read. But overall, the feeling that you're trying to establish is one of trust, I think. Trust and safety.
Yeah.
In a very intimate future moment.
Yeah, absolutely.
So just for time's sake, let's assume then that we've got a videos to show. We've got some really great imagery that we've collected. As we get to the homepage, one of the most important parts is that hero top part. When they land on the page, we know that there is going to be a button that says get a free consultation, probably on the top right corner and probably right in the middle of the homepage. And it's going to be a nice big button because we want to make sure that they can't leave your site without knowing what you want them to do, which is so important. You want to make it so clear that when they got to your website, you knew what they wanted, what you wanted them to do. And so we know that those two things are there. And we probably have a nav, which we could get into later. And we probably have a big picture there that really just somehow encapsulates this idea of connection between midwife, mom, and also home or a different space than the sterile environment of a hospital. Now, what's the text that's going to go right above that button? And I think this will be a good thing to end on. It's a really important part. Can we talk about what is that headline there that says, and knowing some of the questions we have and knowing some of the things, can we brainstorm what does that headline say? And I'm really hoping, Kathy, you can help us here as the marketer in the room, because this is where I would write something and then send it to Kathy and be like, hey, can you fix this?
Words are my thing. So for me, I would have been persuaded by lots of words and maybe a picture or two, but I don't know that I am the target audience anymore. I'm guessing you have to have a balance. Like the pictures have to evoke the emotional state that you want, and then the text would be the thing that encourages them to take action based on the emotion that they're getting from those pictures.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
No, and I think, so we could start throwing some things out there. Like we probably want it to say holistic. Because it's a word you've already used, Hannah, so it's a word that you're familiar with in your practice. It's a buzzword, and in general, people are like, well, I don't want a non-holistic approach.
Totally. They wouldn't be there.
I don't want a half approach. So holistic's probably a key word that we want in there somewhere. So we probably want to say something along the lines of like, holistic midwifery practice in Boise, Idaho. And now let's talk about how we can make that less like a, you know, headline and more like something that we're inviting them into. Because those are some of the things we need, but that is like the headline of an ad instead of this thing that's inviting them into it. So what are some other ways to word that? And maybe this is too hard on a podcast because you probably just need to sit down with a pen and paper and start playing around and moving things around and stuff.
And it's something that you talk about as a business too. What's your mission? What's your, even the name of your practice, and what's your vision statement, all these things. And then that should flow from that. And your vision should include a holistic approach. It should include a physiological birth and all these things that we're offering. But I think it is a big question. It's not black and white. It really depends on your own practice.
I would love to hear some stories, like testimonials of women who went through a birth with you. Why are they so happy that they chose you? What were the most memorable experiences that they had? And from there, I would take something of a headline. Did they feel that they got the personal touch? Did they feel like it was a holistic experience? Yes, but was it something that, what triggered in them a positive experience, and then turn that into, choose Hannah for your personalized holistic birth experience or something like that. Because then we're using your name, not just a company name, because people want that intimate connection. This sales experience is such an intimate one-on-one. You never forget your midwife, right? Yeah. This is someone that you're going to remember as the person who helped bring your child into the world for the rest of your life. So it's a big decision. And I think honoring that and then bringing in the one-to-one human connection between, sorry, Ben, mom and midwife.
No.
Yeah. But it's about the mom and that experience. When that contraction is going, it's about the mom. And she's going to be the one that is really making the decision. So I think that our headline has to reach out to her. So that's the way I would take it.
Yeah. That's a good take.
Another thing we'll just throw in there, it's a good time to go look at your competition too and what words they're using, because they've probably done some marketing research on this as well. So you can glean from that for free. Yeah. And then you start playing around with things like, you want to talk to the customer, and I think StoryBrand's really big on this, just making sure you define them as the hero. So you say something like, we provide home births with a family touch so that you as the hero can have the birth you've always wanted, or whatever. Yeah. And that, again, is a very corny, but that's the idea. You want to create this sense of, this is what we do so that you are the hero, so that you are the winner in this, so that your life looks like this. And if your headline can wrap all of that together and then you have that free consultation, it's just a really clean, really nice. This was fun, and we'll have to do this again, maybe with some different stuff, but we probably need to move on.
It's been a busy week. You had this great webinar the other day with Nathan and iThemes Training, the WooCommerce, and I watched it. I sat through the whole thing, and I was just like, this man knows his WooCommerce, and so many great ways, even the little things. So I'm going to have a link in the show notes about this, but you've had a very busy week, but I know you are working very hard to create some updates for Cadence Blocks, the Pro plugin, and the Cadence theme. Any preview on any of that?
I think the big headline this week will be the Google Maps block, which will come out tomorrow's release. And then I've got some other updates. There's a few little bug fixes, a few little features added here and there, but you should see updates to like the Cadence theme later today, which isn't today for you because you're not listening to this when we record. But anyway, there's some updates coming out for our plugins that are primarily just like your kind of regularly scheduled events. And the big headline will be the Google Maps.
Great. And we have a ton of starter templates coming out soon. Can you give us a little preview of what's coming?
Yeah, so there are some blog templates coming out soon, and some another e-commerce online LearnDash course sites, and I think we're even working on an affiliate blog site.
Oh, neat.
There's 7 currently in the works right now that are happening.
Excellent. Okay, so we will definitely announce when new starter templates are coming into your starter template plugin. Also, watch our social channels, and if you're not on our email list, you should be on our email list, because that's where we would also give you a preview of what is new with Cadence. So definitely subscribe there. And then we have some news stories for this week, and we're just gonna, it's a slow week. Everybody must be busy like we are. But there's a couple of news stories that I wanted to just bubble up, because WP Tavern announced this week that the WordPress Web Fonts API has arrived, and it's going to be in Gutenberg. And I wanted to ask, I read the article, and it seems fairly technical, and I'm not sure how this is going to affect me as a non-developer. I hate saying that. I used to be a developer, but I'm a non-developer now, at least in the WordPress world. And so I wanted to know, how is this going to affect people like me who are not really developers?
Yeah, so I think, like, context-wise, what a lot of Gutenberg is working on right now is full-site editing stuff and full-site editing themes. And full-site editing themes use a theme.json file to define what settings show up in different blocks, as well as what settings show up in the, I forget even the name of that, but the Gutenberg version of the customizer where you can have global settings. What this does is it creates a way for someone to define local fonts to it through the JSON file so that they can be used in Gutenberg. And essentially, okay, if you're using a full site editing theme, so they can be used in general. That's great for everyone who's wanting to build like a full site editing theme that is fairly static in design, in terms of this is the design and here is my three fonts that it this theme comes with. But you know what Cadence does is a little different. We have a custom fonts plugin that you can use to install your own custom fonts. But in general, you have access to the 1,000+ Google fonts in our blocks and in our theme. And so this is a totally different setup than what we offer, which is a little bit bigger because you can pick from any one of those 1,000 fonts, and then you can have that loaded locally. Essentially, this is cool for a very small target of people right now.
Gotcha. So nothing that I need to worry about with any of my sites. I will just keep using the Cadence Custom Fonts plugin. And then I saw this other article, and Joel on Software, Joel Spolsky, has been around for a long time. And he started talking about the block protocol, and I saw some other people talking about this. I wanted to ask you, and I know you took a look at this, what is the block protocol? How does this affect WordPress? How does it affect the web? Because it looks like it has some interesting goals. What did you see with this, Ben?
Full disclosure, I feel very like I'm not the right person to be answering this question, but I'm going to give it a shot, okay? Essentially, what this is attempting to do is create a system, a defined system, so that computers can understand the content of your site on a section-by-section or block-by-block level, so that if a computer needs to read your website and distribute that website in a different format. Traditionally, we use schema for this, and it was displayed inside of Google search results in different formats. We had those rich snippet Google search results.
Right.
That was because of schema, and that was essentially because you were using schema, which is very similar to this, to say, hey, Google, this is the structure of this page. These are the important things that you should know about. And then Google could take that information and actually show it in a different way in their own platform. And so what this is attempting to do is to say, let's go all the way beyond that. Let's go block by block level, not just an overall schema, but like literally every piece of content has this structure in place. And then the what can be done with it becomes a lot bigger and broader in terms of how this could be then looked at by a computer and redistributed in different ways across different systems on the internet.
Okay, so this is not about block designing something using blocks. This is about the data within the blocks and how it might be repurposed elsewhere. What's in it for me, the person who's using Cadence, and I've got a bunch of Cadence blocks on my site. I've got maybe some Gutenberg blocks on my site. Why should I care about this? Is this going to help me grow my business, grow my audience?
I think that's probably missing from it right now, in terms of there's no clear this is what you would get for implementing this. And I think that's where even this whole block protocol is at, is it needs, for it to actually be something that could be valuable, it needs massive adaptation. And then if you have massive adaptation, then people can start creating things that would use it. And you could create, and I don't even know that I have any good examples, because all I can think about is like how Google has used it in search results. But essentially, by creating this, we create a structure that maybe 5 years down the road, technology has created an experience for us that wants to experience content differently. And now we have a way for computers to grab content, know what it is, know the context of it, and display it correctly. Whereas right now, you put a testimonial on your page, and a computer doesn't really truly understand a lot of the context for that testimonial.
Okay. I think Joel announced this at the end of January 2022. And so this is a very new initiative. So it would be something interesting to watch, but nothing that's going to affect any of us in the near future, it looks like.
Correct. Yeah.
Okay. Interesting. Okay. And then we wanted to also mention our friends at iTheme Security had their vulnerability report for early March. And this was a behemoth of a report. Over 400 plugins were affected by the Freemius vulnerability. Freemius is a package that many plugin developers use within their plugins. And so therefore, if there is a vulnerability in that package, it affects every single plugin that uses it. So make sure you're logging into your WP admin. Make sure you're doing your updates. Did you notice anything of interest in here? Or is this just a broad, make sure you're updating everything? Now's a good time.
Yeah, now's a good time. I think important to note, Cadence doesn't use Freemius, but you more than likely you have a plugin on your website that does, so it's a good time to go push those updates.
It sure is. Great. That's all we have for the Cadence Beat today. This was a really interesting discussion. Hannah, thanks for being in the hot seat. Very interesting.
As Ben's little sister, I'm actually used to being in the hot seat and interrogated by him, so it just felt like normal life.
Yeah, sorry. I really hope this didn't feel like an interrogation.
No, it didn't at all. It was
not
great.
What I was going for.
So thank you very much for sharing your expertise and some insight into your business, into your clientele. That was really interesting. So we are on Apple Podcasts finally. I had to punch someone in order to get us in there, but person has been punched and now we're in. So find us on cadencewp.com/podcast. You can find all the links to your favorite podcasting apps there, as well as the RSS feed, and you can put it in yourself if you'd like. Thanks for listening. All of our show notes are up on the Cadence blog. You can get a transcript there as well. And we would love to hear some feedback. So just go on there and comment like it's a regular blog post. If you heard something of interest that helped you in your business today, we would love to hear about it. Thanks, guys. We will talk to you next week.